Today's passage reading is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Japan, Mongolia, China, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, DR Congo, Gabon, Angola, Botswana, Swaziland, South Africa, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Italy, Greece, Russia, Sweden, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Dagestan, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, GCN and Manmin TV viewing audiences. This is the second session on the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and are born again as God's children. And to the extent that they live according to the desires of the Holy Spirit, namely as they follow the truth by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they can bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. In the Friday early service, I told you, in the healing session, knowing that Jesus Christ is a Savior, it doesn't mean you receive the Holy Spirit. If you really know that Jesus is our Savior, and if you really believe it, you'll open your heart. And you will accept Him as your Savior, personal Savior. And you know that you are sinners. Because why? Because the Savior, how did He become the Savior? Because He is the Savior, because He has saved us from sins. So, the repentance will be followed. There will be repentance, and in most cases, God will give you the spirit of repentance, and you will repent of all the past wrongdoings as you are reminded of past wrongdoings. Maybe sometimes some people, they do it for many days, for all night. In my case, from the first day of the revival meeting, I think it went on until Friday, every day, repenting thoroughly with tears and runny nose. So if you understand Jesus Christ is a Savior, you will repent of your all sins, and then you can have the faith to believe from heart. But because you don't repent of your sins, you just live in sins. And when you don't receive the Holy Spirit, you cannot have faith. You can have faith only when you receive the Holy Spirit. Because you don't have the faith, you still commit sins. You just attend church. And you know the word of truth and say you cannot believe it. And that is why some of you even doubt so many testimonies. And how, if you have received the Holy Spirit, how can you doubt it? All these things are true. All the signs and wonders and power of God. So you have to open your heart and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you repent of your sins, admitting that you are a sinner. And even if the spirit of repentance doesn't come upon you, you have to repent of your sins, whatever you remember. Maybe later you will have a thorough repentance, or maybe later you can have that kind of repentance after listening to the Word of God. So anyway, right now you have to repent of whatever you know, whatever sin you know you have committed. After I accepted the Lord, I didn't fully repent immediately. I shed many tears of thanks, but I didn't have the thought of repentance right away because I didn't know what truth was, what sin was. April 14th, I accepted the Lord. But in October, only in the revival meeting, I came to know that I was a sinner through the speaker in the revival meeting. I learned that this is sin and this is to live in the truth. And listening to the message, I came to repent thoroughly. So if you accept the Lord and open your heart and accept the Lord, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and you'll also have the gift of repentance, or later, as you listen to the word. So you have to have this repentance so that you can have true faith and the desire to live by the word of God. So you have every month the Holy Spirit prayer meeting. So the leaders of those prayer meetings have to understand it. There are people who are attending church without receiving the Holy Spirit, so you have to help them receive the Holy Spirit so that they can solve their problems, they can love God, and they can repent of their sins, and they can have the desire to live by the Word of God. When they enter into the third level of faith, they can generally follow the desires of the Spirit and practice the truth. This is the beginning stage of the fruits of the Spirit being born in the heart. For example, when the flower falls from the vine, a little grain is born on the spot where the flower fell. So compared with spirit, in the first and second levels, you begin to cast off, in the first level, you cast off works of the flesh. In second level also, you cast off works of flesh, leading to death or, whether leading to death or not, you cast off all works of flesh, then you get into the third level of faith. Then from that time, you begin to circumcise your heart. So you are beginning to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit in the heart. When the flower falls from the vine, a little grain is born on the spot where the flower fell. We cannot say it is a grape, but we see the sign that it'll become the fruit of grape. In the same way, to the extent that we cast off sins and evil from our heart and follow the desires of the Holy Spirit, little by little we are able to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And as the grain grows bigger and comes to have the shape and form of a grape, each grape will begin to ripen. Here, not all the grapes will ripen at the same rate, even though they are in the same bunch. Their shapes may look the same, but some of them ripen earlier than have the dark violet color, while some others still have a greenish color. You shouldn't say there are green grapes. Even when they are ripened, even green grapes, if they are well ripened, we can even see through the seeds and everything. Please do not object to this message because there is another kind of grape, or you will not receive grace through the message. Comparatively, we can say that the fourth level of faith is like this bunch of grapes. We say one has gone into spirit when the fourth level of faith is achieved. Because at this level, all forms of evil have been cast off, a person no longer follows the lust of the flesh, but is able to always follow only the desires of the Spirit. Even if he has to cast off the thing that he loves the most, he will cast it away without any hesitation if the desire of the Holy Spirit wants him to do that. As he has been diligently following the desires of the Holy Spirit, he bears the fruit of the Holy Spirit abundantly. But among these fruits that are born, some are more ripened, while others are not as ripe. For example, a person may have accomplished 90% of the fruit of faithfulness, but he may bear only 70% of the fruit of gentleness. Each grape will be different, even from the same tree. The sizes, the shapes, and the speed of getting ripened, they are all different. He may have a full measure of the fruit of self-control, but a little bit less of the fruit of joy. But even those less ripened grapes will be ripened completely as time passes. As this bunch of grapes completely ripens, that is when a person bears the 100% of all fruits of the Holy Spirit. He is referred to as a man of the Holy Spirit. Even if it looks ripened on the outside, some grapes will be sour. But if it's completely ripened, it'll be almost black. And also, it should be a little soft. It should rather be soft than hard. The grape that is completely ripened doesn't have any sour taste. In spirit, this is whole spirit. It is spirit, but there is also whole spirit. Of course, spirit is well ripened, but if it is completely, totally ripened, it is the whole spirit. So this is the comparison. Having reached the fifth level of faith, he is a person who gives out the aroma of Christ in all areas, and he is a person who resembles the image of God. He clearly hears the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he can give glory to God greatly with the power of the Holy Spirit. How well are the fruits of the Spirit growing in your heart? How ripened has each of the fruit become? I hope you will check how ripe each of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit is and which fruit needs more attention and growth. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will bear all the fruits beautifully so that you can give joy and comfort to God the Father, who has been patiently enduring us for a long time. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the last session, I already explained about the fruit of love, the first fruit of the Spirit. The second fruit is joy. In the dictionary, joy is defined as a feeling of great happiness or pleasure. But spiritual joy is not just being joyful and glad. Even unbelievers rejoice when they experience something good, but this is only momentary. When they are faced with hardships, their joy and gladness disappear. But if we bear the fruit of joy as one of the fruits of the Spirit, we can rejoice and be glad in any kind of situation or circumstances. This kind of joy we have to bear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." To rejoice always and give thanks in everything is spiritual joy. If you have this rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, whether in photo frame or anywhere on the wall, if you have them, please raise your hands. Most people should have this, even from when they are new believers, they have some calligraphy or in photo frames. But those who are in a higher level of faith, they don't have, I see that they don't have it. Even I don't have it. When I was a new believer, I had all these Bible verses at home in my room. But because I cultivated in my heart, I don't really need to look at the wall to read some Bible verses. But until then, I had all those verses. I think those who have cultivated already, they don't have them. So as every time you see it in Rejoice Always, Pray Without Ceasing, Give Thanks in All Circumstances, even you read it, we see it going to bed, and for 5 years and 10 years and 15 years, if you haven't cultivated it yet, and what kind of Christian life have you been leading? Please just think about it. If you're just attending church, just giving tithes, and you say you're praying and giving thanks and praising God, and you are doing, fulfilling some duties in the church, without circumcising your heart. The most important thing is to circumcise your heart. You have to pull out these sinful natures, sins. You always have a personal prayer time in Daniel prayer meeting. Rejoice always, and pray without ceasing, and giving thanks in everything is spiritual joy. Joy is one of the standards by which we can check whether we are leading a proper Christian life. Some people take the way of the Lord with joy and happiness in every moment of their lives. But some others do not have enough joy or thanks stemming from the center of their heart, although they may appear to lead a diligent life in faith. So as I look at your faces, you must have the joy. Some of you have so many concerns and worries on your face, so I am worried also. And when will his business go well? They attend worship services, pray, and do their duties, but they just do them as if they were fulfilling some responsibility. If they face any unexpected difficulties, they lose the peace of mind, and their heart is shaken by nervousness. I urge you to check your heart when you are faced with something so difficult that you cannot solve it yourself. I am saying you should check whether you are really spiritually rejoicing. Take a look at your face in the mirror. That face can also become one of the measures that can show you how much fruit of joy you are bearing. But that doesn't mean you look at yourself smiling, trying to smile through the mirror, but just look at yourself, your ordinary face. In fact, just the grace of salvation alone is more than enough reason to rejoice always. Just by thinking that we are saved from the fire of hell and that we can go to heaven, it should give us reason for inexpressible happiness. How much did they rejoice when the sons of Israel came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea? The Bible depicts the scene in which the women played the timbrels while all people praised God with dancing. Like in this joy, the joy of the first love, when we first accept the Lord, is so very great. Even if we don't have anything to eat tomorrow, or even if we are so tired after working hard, we'll still have praises on our lips. Even if we are persecuted or suffer unjust hardships for the name of the Lord, we are just happy if we think of heaven. If we have this kind of joy in heart all the time, we will soon bear the fruit of joy. But in reality, There are not very many people who can keep this joy of first love in their heart. After some time, this joy gradually disappears, and even when such persons think about the grace of salvation, they don't have the same emotions as before. Even in hardships, they were once happy, just thinking about the Lord, but now they first begin to sigh in their hardships and mourn in their sufferings. There are quite a few who are going through this kind of stage. You've been faithful to all houses of God. You've been faithful to all things, praying hard, 5 years, 10 years. Only after that, they have something like lethargy or something in faith. They become lazy. And you have to think, why? It's because you have the desire to look at the world, to desire for the world. It's the same between husband and wife. Before the marriage, you love each other so much. They say they love each other, and some women, they're completely captured by just one diamond ring. Is it because of that diamond ring? Whether she receives a diamond ring or not, she still has to love her husband. Or when something is not right, that joy disappears. Can love change like that? Before marriage, most people, they feel happy being together. After work, they go home quickly because they want to see their wife. And this heart shouldn't change even after a long time. And if that love increases, it'll be so much love. Why do they change? Why do they have some boredom of marriage? In their honeymoon, they say, it's so good. And after some time, some other men, they say, oh, don't get married too early. In their honeymoon, they will tell their friends, it's so good. But after some time, they'll change their words. Oh, it's not so good, you know. Don't get married too early. The reason is, their love changes. Because they love their wife. She looks just beautiful. And you shouldn't forget that face, all the noses, eyes, or even if you see somebody else who is so much more beautiful, it's not just the face that has to be beautiful, the heart, or the attitude, or the kindness, or anything, whatever you love of your wife, don't forget. Does she change because of the time? Does her appearances change as time passes? You also change. Even if the appearances change, obviously it'll change. So just remember, whatever you loved, whatever the thing you loved from your wife, and if you have your children together and raise children together, and you have to have more and more love. And why do you have to look at another woman and get into affairs or something? Of course, it's a long time ago, not right now. New people. That way, the family will be broken. So because they look at the world, they begin to sigh. They will have the things to sigh about and mourn in their sufferings. Why do they change this way? It's because they have flesh in their hearts. One of the characteristics of flesh is that it changes. Flesh changes. What is not changing? Gold. That is why we compare gold with faith, because faith doesn't change, just like gold never changes. And pure gold never changes, and our faith must not change. That is why we compare faith with gold. And some people say, I believe. Or they say, oh, I used to believe very well. I used to be a good Christian. My son used to be a good Christian. But now they're in the world. They left the church. They were keeping the Sabbath, the Sunday very well. But now they don't. There's no way for faith to change. The grace might fall, but the faith never changes. Their fullness may fall, decrease, but faith cannot change. But why did they change? Because they didn't have proper faith. They had only faith as knowledge. They didn't have the true faith to believe from heart. That is why they changed. Because it's fleshly faith, they changed. Spiritual faith can never change. Because once you know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Savior and believed it, how can they change? Let me give you an example. I also did it before. Pastor Sung-suk Lee, her parents are now deceased. She has many brothers. After maybe about 20 years, you meet with them. You didn't see them for about 20 years, and can't you believe that they are your brothers? They are still your brothers. Even though some other people say no, they are still your brothers. How can she be deceived? Even if they slap her once, they are still brothers. She can say, why do you slap me? But they're still her brothers. Likewise, this faith can never change. This is white color. We have a member who is over 102. She's 102 years old. Now she is 105 years old. She is still very healthy. Attending church very well. And ask them, is it white or not? They will say it's white. Even after a long time, white is white, and black is black, and red is red. If you believe it, unless it is a wrong faith, faith can never change, because it's true. And one of the characteristics of flesh is that it changes. Your clothes, maybe after 10 years, the color will change. Even if you just leave it, the color will change. Suppose it 100 years, 200 years passes, and it'll perish. The trees, even the trees, 1,000-year-old trees will finally perish after maybe 2,000 years. All elephants, all animals, crocodiles, everything will die, and they will perish and decay and smell. One who has the nature of the flesh might have overflowing joy at one moment, but he can change any time, and that joy can disappear in an instant. Because he has the nature of the flesh, the enemy, devil, and Satan will control that nature of flesh to create a situation where this person cannot rejoice. Then in order to rejoice always and to bear the fruit of the joy, what can we do? First of all, we have to cast off flesh. I already explained that because we have the nature of the flesh in us, the enemy, devil, and Satan are able to control the natures of the flesh to create a situation in which we cannot rejoice. For example, when others are blessed and praised, if we do not have the characters of the flesh called envy and jealousy, then we will rejoice as if we were the ones receiving the blessing and praise. On the other hand, to the extent that we have envy and jealousy, we'll feel discomforted when others are better off than we are. we might develop ill feelings against that person, and to the extent that it benefits, we lose joy and get discouraged because we have a sense of inferiority. They say they love the shepherd, but they have to love in spiritual love. But sometimes it is fleshly love, so they are suffering. Spiritual love will never give you any suffering. Even if you don't see me, you see me Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, at least three times a week. So you must be happy. But fleshly love is not happy. When you see me, you feel happy. But when you don't, you're not happy. Also, if we do not have the natures of flesh called anger and resentment, we will always have peace even when we are mistreated or suffer damage. When somebody does something, we get angry because we have that character of anger. Otherwise, we will not get angry at all. We become resentful and disappointed because we have flesh in us. Because of this, our hearts are heavy laden. We will feel pain and even feel victimized when we think we are facing greater disadvantage and damage compared to others. Moreover, to the extent that we have flesh, we cannot have spiritual faith, and thus we will only grow more worried about not being able to rely on God. Those who trust in God and rely on Him can rejoice even though they don't have anything to eat right now. I've experienced this also. Even though we didn't have anything to eat tomorrow, we didn't have the food for 1 week. After I accepted the Lord, right after that, I was working in the construction site. That was the kind of life I lived. Still, I never lost my joy. Even in hardships, I was picking rocks. I had to dig the ground, which I had never done before. I also had to carry the dangerous places. I had to pull a cart to the dangerous places. And I was very weak because I had been sick for a long time. But still, I rejoiced. I worked with joy. Later, God explained that because of that laborious work, I could have taken a Sunday off as I wanted. And little by little, God gave me more strength and health through that time, so to recover my health completely. And if I worked too much, I couldn't have recovered. So that's why God let me meet with good people, the instructors and directors. They didn't look down upon me in construction site. They begin with bad words and they end with bad words. But nobody used any foul language to me. And they gave me easy work, and they let me rest as much as I needed. And that way, they helped me recover. And that's how God let me work. Everything was in the providence of God. So I always rejoiced. God certainly promised us that He would fulfill our needs. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." Those who are doing business, or if you are unemployed, those who are asking for God's grace, be anxious for nothing. This is faith. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There is a condition. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's not just prayer. You have to give thanks. And be anxious for nothing. Do not have any worry. If you have doubt, you will not receive the answer to your prayer. As in James. So by faith, being anxious for nothing, and with thanksgiving, In everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. So when you pray to God, you have to pray with thanksgiving. So there are different conditions. Then, and the peace of God, you know you can answer. And what will happen? Simply put, God will answer you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's why we always ask in Jesus Christ and we pray in Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus, Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Which means God will answer you, so you won't have any worries. As you wish, as you desire, He'll fulfill our desires. That is why this Bible quiz competition is very important. If you memorize this verse and cultivate it in your heart, you will not have any worries about anything. And you know how to pray without any worries, being anxious to nothing. We'll pray with faith. We'll pray with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You will pray to God this way. You will not just, without any meaning, you just say something and you doze off and you talk to somebody next to you and you always go out and go here and there. And you just leave while prayer and you talk to somebody else and you just leave together. You can leave after the prayer meeting is over. Ed said, even in very difficult situations, he who has spiritual faith will commit everything to God with prayers of thanks. He would ask first for the kingdom and righteousness of God and later ask for his personal needs. Especially the workers in our church, they have to keep this in mind when they do the work of God. Even in difficulties, I don't show any worries or concerns. Because I leave just everything to God, I don't say anything. Even when other people worry about something, I just keep quiet about it. I don't use my fleshly, I don't use, try to utilize my thoughts. Oh, when will it come? When will it be done? But those who do not rely on God, but rely on their own ideas and plans, do not have rest of the heart. They have only growing worries and concerns. Those who are running their own businesses will be prosperous in all things with overflowing blessings, only if they can clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and follow it. But if they have greed, impatience, and fleshly thoughts, they have difficulties because they cannot hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. They can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit when they don't have those things, greed, impatience, and fleshly thoughts. Even if they hear, even if the Holy voice of the Spirit is given, they cannot hear. Conclusively speaking, the fundamental reason for losing joy is the fleshly attributes in our hearts. The more flesh we cast off from our hearts, the more spiritual joy and thanks will come into us. Secondly, to rejoice always, we have to follow the desire of the Holy Spirit in every matter. We do not seek the joy of this world, but one that comes from above, the joy that is brought by the Holy Spirit. We can feel the joy and fullness of Spirit only when the Holy Spirit in us rejoices. We can have joy especially when we worship God, pray to Him, and praise Him with all our heart. We also gain joy when we practice the Word of God. We have to worship God in spirit and truth, and when we keep the word of God, we can have true joy. Even in prayer, you have to offer up a prayer, the kind of prayer that will please God, without any idle thoughts. I already taught you how to pray well. Also, you know the seven spirits. So you have to keep them in your mind and do it. Practice it. You have to make it a habit to do that so you can offer up to God a pleasing aroma of prayer. It's not something very difficult. You can just make it a good habit. And if you keep it in mind and try it once, twice, three times, four times, then it'll be your habit. That is why the Lord told us to follow our habit in prayer. So we have to have good habits. The right habits, good habits in the right way. Some people were saying senior pastor was very picky. Later, before, I liked the pepper paste. I liked that only. So they could just give me that. It doesn't cost so much. I'm not like a person who likes this particular food in this sauce and this. Also, in my room, everything has its own place. If somebody touches it and places it somewhere else, I have to try to find it. So I learned it from my father. And my father taught me to put the things in the right place. At its original place. So I obeyed it all the time. But other people didn't listen to him. So when he was trying to find this particular knife, he couldn't find it. He couldn't find the scissors. He always had to suffer. So he always had to say. And those who were listening to him, they were saying, "Oh, Father is saying it again." It's not that he's talking again and again. I kind of understood his heart. It's not something very difficult. And they were using what the father was using, the things of the father, belongings of the father, but they had to put the things in the right place, but they weren't doing it. I think it'll be so, quite interesting if you take some, if you look into your lives at your homes, even the books, you can place them from the big ones to the small ones, you know, in the order, everything in neat manner. It'll look very good. And if you say it is, I'm being picky, they have to understand, if they are saying I'm picky, then it means they are living such a disorder, living in such a disorder. We'll be so happy when we realize our shortcomings by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and change ourselves. When we realize that we have changed by the truth, we are extremely happy and thankful. In your everyday life, you can always choose between the desire of the Holy Spirit and the desire of the flesh. If you choose the desire of the Holy Spirit every time, then the Holy Spirit will rejoice in you, and thus you will also be filled with joy. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." It's saying for me, I have no greater joy than to hear that you are walking in the truth, living the truth. Your family is having peace, loving each other between husband and wife, between parents and children. I feel so happy. As written, God rejoices when you practice the truth and He gives you joy in the fullness of the Spirit. For example, Suppose the desire to seek your own benefit and the desire to seek the benefit of others collide with each other, and this status goes on for some time, then you will lose joy. And if you follow the flesh and seek your own benefit, you cannot have spiritual joy, though you may get what you wanted for the moment. You may also feel mentally unsettled. On the other hand, if you decide to seek the benefit of the other person, although it seems you experienced some loss, you will have joy from above because the Holy Spirit rejoices. Only those who actually have had such joy can understand this feeling. It is the happiness which the world can never give or know. The same goes for every other thing. If a person who used to judge others with his own standard changes his mind and begins to understand others with goodness, he will have peace to the extent that he thinks in goodness. Also, do you try to avoid and ignore those who have different personalities or opinions from your own, or do you warmly greet them with smiles? If you just ignore them, you may have comfort for that moment, but you will still have that ill feeling continuously. You'll always have that kind of a hardship in your heart, unsettled mind. You sometimes have to resolve it anyway. In view of the unbelievers, it is much easier for them to just avoid those whom they dislike rather than trying to be nice to them. But those who follow the desire of the Spirit will smile first with the desire to serve others first. When we die to ourselves in this way, in an attempt to make others comfortable, we can experience the peace and joy that come from above. Furthermore, you can enjoy the peace and joy all the time if you get rid of the feelings that somebody else has a different personality that conflicts with yours or that you dislike a certain person. For instance, on a holiday, somebody calls you and asks you to come to make a visitation to a new believer or deliver church newsletters. At one corner of your mind, you want to rest. But at another corner, you also want to do some work for God. It depends on your free will to choose between them. But you will not really have joy just because you let your body have some rest and comfort. You can have the fullness of the Spirit and joy when you give your time and possessions for God. As you begin to follow the desire of the Holy Spirit again and again, your spiritual joy will be added more and more, and your heart will also change into the truth. Somebody said between brothers, they don't have the characters, personalities don't really go well with each other. They are sharing a house, and the elder brother ate. He doesn't clean it. And the younger one, because you ate, you have to clean it. And he just says, you do it, and he doesn't do it. And the younger one, he doesn't like it. So hearing that, and I told the person who told me that story, elder brother is also not good, but the younger brother, he thinks he's good, he's following the truth. Because this younger brother knows what kind of person his brother is. He just does it. Why not just clean it himself? He'll do that continuously. So what's the matter? He can do that continuously. He can just put the things back in the fridge and just wash the dishes. And if the elder one does it, you just let him do it. If he doesn't want to do it, the young one just can take care of it. And it means if that younger one can do that, he will go into spirit very quickly. And also at some point in time, the elder one will feel sorry about it and try to do it. And he will also maybe try to clean and take care of the dishes. please do not blame each other. Then it'll be such a happy relationship between brothers. So if you follow goodness and the desire of the Spirit, you'll be happy. Why do people just follow this desire of flesh? Just because of momentary disadvantage, why do they have to fight or quarrel? Why not just yield? Why not just serve? Why not just humble yourself? That is, if you do it from the bottom of your heart, you will have happiness. Those who go against it, they are not happy. But if they really follow the Spirit's desire, not by... Does that mean you will suffer so much? Because will your hands be... Will your hands suffer because you are washing dishes once more? To that extent, you will bear the fruit of joy more properly, and you will have the spiritual glow in your face. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, thirdly, to bear the fruit of joy, we have to diligently sow the seed of joy and thanks. Even in the physical world, the farmer has to sow the seed and work hard to harvest the fruit. Likewise, in order to bear the spiritual fruit of joy, you have to look for the things to be joyful and thankful about, and then offer the sacrifice of thanks to God. If we have faith, there are so many things to give thanks for every day. First, we have the joy of salvation, which can never be exchanged for anything. Also, the good God is our Father, and He protects His children who live in the truth and answers to whatever they ask, whatever we ask. How happy we are for that. Furthermore, if you at the least properly keep the Sabbath and give full tithes and offerings, you won't face any misfortunes or accidents. If you keep His commandments and are faithful to Him without committing sins, you will always have overflowing blessings. If you have some problems in your workplace or business field, once or twice, many times, do not hate that person who is giving you a hard time. Just repent of the situation that God is not with you. If God is with you, He will not let that happen. He will not let that person do that to you. But because you are not loved by God, you have to repent of yourself. You must not blame the other person. You have to change yourself. Then the mind of the other person will change, or God will move this person, remove this person from your way. Even if you have some disadvantage, if you still serve the others, then you will receive blessings in every other matter. So you can be always thankful. Even if you get into some difficult situations, you know the ways to resolve them. If you have done something wrong, you can receive God's compassion and receive the solution when you just repent and turn back. I go such a difficult way, but I go with thanks and joy. Even to Israel, I go with thanks and joy. And so many VIPs from the world are gathering to participate. Also, from another country, a 3-star general will come to Israel to participate in this festival. There are some senators, some mayors or vice mayors of some cities. And how can such things happen? I don't even write to them, or I don't invite them. I didn't ask them to have fellowship with me. And even if they come there to watch the festival, I don't even attend their dinner party. I don't even see them. I don't have any fellowship with them. But still, God moves them. And He is making it look nice on the outside as well. If you don't have anything by which you can be accused, you can rejoice and give thanks even more. You have to find something to blame yourself, whether God can blame you for something. And if you don't find anything, you can rejoice and give thanks even more. Then God works for the good of everything and give you even greater blessings. Especially in this church, God's power is always manifested. You always see, hear, and experience numerous signs and wonders, and you receive answers to prayers and healings, so your spiritual faith can grow up very quickly. We must not take all this grace for granted, but always give thanks and rejoice over it. When we try to find the things to give thanks for, God gives us even more things for us to be thankful. Then our thanks and joy will increase, and finally, we'll bear the fruit of joy completely. Please do not postpone it to tomorrow. Just bear it right now. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, even though we have the fruit of joy, we may sometimes have to be in sorrow. It is the spiritual mourning that we have in the truth. First, it is the mourning of repentance. When tests and trials came as a result of our sins, we could not solve the problem just by rejoicing and giving thanks. We have to solve the fundamental cause. If anybody rejoices even after committing a sin, he is probably experiencing fleshly joy that has nothing to do with God. In this kind of case, one has to repent with tears and turn from sins. He has to thoroughly repent, confessing his sins, thinking, how could I commit such a sin, saying that I believe in God? How could I forsake the grace of the Lord? He can recover his joy only when God accepts that repentance and demolishes the wall of sin. He will have an enlightened heart that feels like flying in the sky. He will also have renewed joy and thankfulness from above. But this morning of repentance is clearly different from the tears that one may shed due to the pain of suffering caused by disasters. Even though they shed tears with runny noses, if they are just crying over their pitiful situation, it is only fleshly mourning. Also, if they do not turn from sins, but just try to avoid the punishment just for the moment, they cannot have true joy. Neither can they have the confidence that they are forgiven. If they truly have the mourning of repentance, they have to have firm determination to cast away the desire to commit sins and bear the proper fruit of their repentance. Then they can recover the spiritual joy coming from above. Some people, they want to cast them away, but because it's so precious to them. Some people say they cannot cast them away because it's so precious to them. They feel it's wasteful to cast them away. Such people, it means they don't have hope for New Jerusalem. They don't even know what heavenly kingdom looks like. Even after they heard the messages about heaven, they didn't accept it with faith. Even in New Jerusalem, the size of New Jerusalem is about 57 times bigger than South Korea. And they have to go near to the center of the New Jerusalem, so you can be happy all the more. And the happiness of heavenly kingdom cannot even begin to compare with any kind of happiness found on earth. The happiness on earth is only for a moment. And this kind of happiness cannot even be compared with happiness who are in paradise. Even in paradise, their happiness is much greater, beyond measure, than the happiness of this world. How about the happiness in New Jerusalem? How about the happiness to go near the throne of God and the Lord? Next, it is rightful mourning if you mourn when God is disgraced or for the souls who are going the way of death. You can pray more earnestly and ardently for the kingdom of God if you have this kind of mourning. You will pray for sanctification and the power of God to save more souls and extend the kingdom of God. Therefore, this is rightful mourning in the truth, and God accepts it joyfully too. For this kind of mourning, the joy deep in your heart will not disappear even as you mourn. It is not to lose heart and become discouraged or depressed, but you still have the thanks and happiness. So the mourning and sorrow of the world is tearful sorrow about oneself. That kind of mourning is disliked by Father God. And spiritual mourning, if you mourn over your sins, it'll not be your reward, but it'll still break down the wall of sin that you have between God and you. If you mourn for others when others commit sins or when others are going the way of death, and if you mourn for the kingdom of God, all these things will become your reward. But even in this mourning, fleshly mourning will rot your mind and bones, but spiritual mourning will not rot your mind or bones. It will not harm your health. But in spiritual mourning too, if you do it for too much time, for a long time, then it might even harm your health. That was what happened to me before. Because of so many sins of the church members, I mourned so much. I mourned too much. It's too sorrowful for me. Then it is better to forget about it quickly. But sometimes this kind of sorrow goes on for 3 days, about a week, 2 weeks. That kind of mourning, about at the end of about 2 weeks, God gives me a word, stop mourning. If the mourning is too deep, it'll harm your mind. So even spiritual mourning, if you do it for too much time, it'll harm your health. So God was telling me to stop mourning. So if even spiritual mourning shouldn't be done for such a long time. It is not to lose heart and become discouraged or depressed, but you still have the thanks and happiness. This is spiritual mourning. But if you do it too much, it's not good. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when God created the first man, Adam, God also put joy into the heart of Adam. But this joy that Adam had was different from the one we have. For we are going through human cultivation. Adam was created as a living spirit, and he had no fleshliness in him. So he didn't have any attributes that were opposite of joy. He didn't have any comparison of things. He didn't know what sorrow was. He didn't have any hatred, so he didn't know what love really was, because he didn't have any comparison between things. If there are only men without any women, you wouldn't know whether you are man or not. Because there are women, you know men, you know there is opposite, men and women. Suppose there have been only women since the creation of men. You don't have to say you are a woman, because there is no man. There wasn't anything that could hinder him from having joy. There was no sorrow, tears, pain, mourning, worries, or concerns. Namely, there wasn't anything by which any comparison could be made. There was no way for Adam to be able to understand the true value of joy. Only those who have suffered from diseases can feel the true value of good health. Only those who have suffered from poverty can truly understand in heart how good it is to be rich. Adam never experienced any pain, and thus he didn't realize how happy the life was that he enjoyed. Because I experienced poverty thoroughly since my childhood. My parents always worked hard. But we couldn't even have white rice, even though they worked so hard all winter. But even after harvest, we couldn't have white rice. Because we had to sell the white rice to buy something else, some other things, other necessities. Also, I lived in poverty for 7 years being in sickbed after my marriage. But not only myself, during the 50s and 60s, most Koreans experienced such poverty unless they were so, unless their parents were so rich. Most Koreans experienced such poverty during that time. And so now, just by having one kimchi and some side dishes and kimchi soup, I'm satisfied with those things. I don't have to have this meat and that dish and that dish. I don't need those dishes because I experienced such a poverty before. Now, if I want something, I can have it. But I don't really have to do that. So I'm satisfied with whatever I have at home, whatever is given to me. I'm content with whatever I have. Because I experienced poverty. I know how thankful it is to be rich. So does that mean we have to waste? We can just waste and we can just live a leisurely life. I always think of those who are in need. Also, Adam didn't know how to rejoice, even though he was enjoying an eternal life and all the abundance of the Garden of Eden. But since he committed the sin of disobedience by eating the fruit of the forbidden tree, the flesh came into his heart, and he lost joy that had been given by God. As he began to experience the pains of this earth, his heart was gradually filled with sorrow, loneliness, disappointment, ill feelings, worries, and so on. But now, as you are going through the human cultivation, you have to go through the opposite process. You have to recover spiritual joy. In order to do that, first we have to cast off flesh. Also, we always have to follow the desire of the Holy Spirit. Only if you just follow the desire of the Holy Spirit, in several months, you will bear these fruits. If you really control your mind and thoughts, and if you have the self-control for several months, you can bear these fruits in several months. If you really keep them in mind and do it, you cannot do it because you don't do it. You don't bear the fruits because you don't do it. You don't try to do it, even for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Then we have to sow the seed of joy with profession of joy and thanks in all things. On top of this, if you add a positive mindset and a desire to seek only good and beautiful things, you will be able to bear the fruit of joy completely. This joy is something that is gained after we have experienced the opposite things, unlike Adam in the Garden of Eden. So, this joy is the true joy. Therefore, this joy and thanks will stem from the bottom of our heart, and because it's not fleshly, it'll never change forever. Those who are living in the Garden of Eden, the descendants of Adam, if you have a chance to meet with them, and if you ask them, do you rejoice? Are you rejoicing? Do you feel joy? They'll be confused, because they don't even know what love is, joy is. Do you understand what I'm saying? The true happiness that you will enjoy in heaven will be placed in you even on this earth. Furthermore, when you actually go into heaven after this cultivation is over, how will we... be able to express the joy there? I hope you will quickly bear the fruit of joy so that you can rejoice and be glad every day. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will also bear all other fruits of the Holy Spirit abundantly and go into New Jerusalem and enjoy all the joy that God will be giving to you. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord, thank you for your grace and love. Father, let us bear abundantly the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Let us bear the fruit of joy. Let us rejoice in any kind of situation or circumstances. And to rejoice always, we have to cast off flesh. We have to follow the desire of the Holy Spirit. And we have to sow the seed of joy. Let us try to look for the things to give thanks for so we can harvest the fruit of joy. In case of spiritual mourning, we have mourning over of repentance, and we have mourning for the kingdom of God, and we have joy in our heart when we have spiritual mourning. The joy that Adam had was not true joy, but we have true joy. And we can enjoy true joy in heavenly kingdom by cultivating our heart with true joy. Father, thank you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on sick parts and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Father God, lay your hands on them. Show your work transcending space-time. Bless all those who are attending the service in other churches, all branch churches and local sanctuaries through satellite all over the country, and all children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and all overseas pastors, missionaries, and members. Lay your hands on the prayer requests and photos. Lay your hands on them. Pastors Sohail Tabak and Lina Tabak, they have sent their prayer request. Their landlord wants them to go out from the house by next Monday. Let them find a good house to live in. Father, move the heart of the landlord and the father. Let them find a good house to move. Drive away the enemy, devil, and Satan. Father, Li Zui is whitening of the skin, and her mother as Meng Jishang is hearing disorder. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. Chao Weibang has cataract and rheumatism. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Zhang Hong Ai has back pain and lethargy all of the body. And Father, heal, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be cleansed. Zhang Jianying, tumor in the nose and stomach disease, and let her daughter return home. Zhang Nanxiang, rheumatism and high blood pressure. Shi Li has narrowing of the veins in the brain. Zhang Yifan has back pain. Let her daughter, let the black spot, birthmark in the eye disappear. Bu Ge John has high blood pressure and leg pain. Liu Fang wants to receive a blessing of conception. Zhao Yu Chui has cancer in pancreas. Ri Roy Fong has heart disease and hearing disorder. Yang Jamin has last stage lung cancer. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. Father, give them spiritual and physical health and protect them with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, the heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes in this week and next week. Protect and bless their families, workplaces, and business fields. Father, thank you. This week and next week, give them true peace. Drive away all enemy, devil, and Satan. Drive them away. Protect all of them with the heavenly hosts and angels, with your blazing eyes, fiery walls of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you. This week and next week, give them prosperity. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.